Acts chapter 4 today. This is one of my favorite passages here. In Acts chapter 4, you'll find it printed on the front part of your bulletin, or you can use your own Bibles. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23, I believe. Yeah, verse 23. Now, how many of you have fish tanks or an aquarium in your house? Okay, some of you do. Okay, and you know that in a fish tank, the fish there, if you tap the water, you play with it, or you sprinkle food on the top, the fish get all excited because they know that there's a lot of food that is coming their way. But now, if you're outside of the fish tank, you can clap your hands, you can also do a little dance, you can play the piano, you can do any amazing thing in your own eyes, but it's outside of the fish tank, and because it's on the outside, the fish don't really care. They won't move, they won't flinch, they won't jump as long as you and whatever you're doing is outside of the fish tank. In the same way, in our own prayer lives, could it be that you might be missing what God is doing, the power of God, that the mighty movement of God that He might be doing around you, because you might be focusing too much within the confines of your fish tank in your prayer life? Why is it that in the early church, in the book of Acts, that when the early believers prayed, then amazing things happened? You know, people got healed. Thousands of people would come to the Lord. Amazing things would happen. But what happened now? Why is it that in these modern times that perhaps when we pray, we don't see much? We're going to look at this particular prayer that we have in Acts chapter 4. So let's go ahead and turn to that passage right now. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23. The Bible says that when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So, in other words, that Peter and John, they were confronted and they were threatened by the Sanhedrin and the religious rulers of the day. And when they came back to the church, and the church prayed for them. But notice how that prayer goes. Verse 24, "And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God, and they said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place.'" I want you to notice one thing. That whole prayer is just one sentence right now. That was one sentence. But what is that one sentence focusing on? It was focusing on the character and the qualities of God. In other words, it was praising God. And what is praise? Praising God is telling God something about Himself that He already knows. And what they zeroed in this particular passage was the sovereignty of God. And that's why that first word, sovereign Lord, in verse 24, sovereign Lord who made the heaven and earth. And then as an illustration, an instance of that sovereignty, it says in verse 27 and verse 28, they said that Herod and Pontius Pilate, they put Jesus to the cross, but they did what your will, what God's will had already foretold and predestined to take place. In other words, everything that was happening, their confrontation and the threats from the Sanhedrin and later on persecution, it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the movement of God. And if they could see that kind of big picture of what they were in, then they don't worry so much. They don't have to fret. They don't have to weep or cry, but they can be like Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, where even though they're thrown in jail, because they see the big picture, they can sing And they can praise God to the amazement of the jailers around them. And so one thing that I want you to know about in the pattern of the prayer, of this powerful prayer in Acts chapter 4, is that they praised God. They told God, they told and spoke to God what he already knows about himself. A lot of times when we pray, how do we usually pray? Lord, bless me. Bless me. Bless me, bless me. And maybe we get a little bit less selfish and say, bless him or bless her or bless these people, okay? But you know, there needs to be in our prayer lives a time where we say, Lord, bless you. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless you, my Lord. And you look at the Psalms and you see the Psalms is blessing the name of the Lord. And we need to recover that, where we recover the same kind of prayer that Jesus taught us when he taught us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, Our Father who art in heaven. Well, see, he already knows he's in heaven. Why are you telling him? Because that's what praise is. It's telling God what he already knows. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. That means holy is your name. See, that's praise. And a lot of times we forget about that. We only think about praise as when we sing the songs on a Sunday morning. But what about in your prayer life? What about in the morning? What about in the evening? Or when you're in trouble? Or when you're praying in the middle of the day, whenever you do pray? Do you praise God? And what do you want to praise him about? There's so many things you praise him. Here in this particular passage, they chose out that sovereignty of God. But you can praise God for his righteousness. You can praise God for his invisibility, his infinity. You can also pray for his power and his might and his majesty. You can pray for his justice and peace. You can pray for his mercy and his kindness and his holiness. There's all these characteristics and all of these attributes of God that you can pray for. And that's why you can go on and on and on. And that's something that we need to recover in our prayer life. Okay, so that's one thing that they did. They praised God. Okay, let's go on to verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon the threats. Now, this part was their prayer request. Okay, they got finished praising. Now they did the prayer request. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I want you to notice one thing here is that immediately in response to the persecution, they prayed for the mission of God. That's what they prayed for. Now, they didn't pray for the safety of Peter and John. They didn't pray for their health. They didn't pray that they be financially provided for. They didn't pray for a bigger house. They didn't pray for any of these things. Now, there's nothing wrong about praying for any of these things, okay? But what I'm saying is that when we're trying to follow the Lord's Prayer, when you're thinking back on the Lord's Prayer, we kind of skip over all the different parts and we go right to the part that says, give us our daily bread. And we kind of skip the rest of the parts. But what I'm saying is that we got to go back to what the Lord wants. And then instead of just simply praying for what our needs are, we got to pray for God. We got to pray for what his plan is for the world. Have you ever thought about that? You can pray for him. You can pray for her. You can pray for yourself. You can pray for your loved ones when they're in the hospital. But have you ever prayed for God? Have you ever prayed for the mighty movement and for his plan, for his kingdom to come, and also for his plan to redeem the world? Have you ever prayed for that? His majestic, his grand master plan. Have you prayed for that? Well, they did. And that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is a walkie-talkie in the midst of battle in this great cosmic war that we're in. this war where God is redeeming his creation, the universe, and taking it back from the evil one and redeeming it for himself. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is that walkie-talkie where, you know, Lord, I'm in the midst of battle. Please send troops. I'm in the midst of battle. Need more fortifications now. Hurry. And that's what prayer is. It's a walkie-talkie. Now, a lot of times we treat prayer as an intercom in a house. Mom, I need some more pizza down at the pool hall, okay? Right? You can use that walkie-talkie, that military walkie-talkie, to order pizza, but you would not see God's powerful response. You are using it. You can use it to order pizza, and you probably get the pizza, you know, Pizza Hut or probably Domino's will probably go ahead and deliver the pizza that you ordered. You tell them where to drop off the pizza, and there it is. But prayer, though, is that walkie-talkie. It's that hotline to God's nuclear forces in order to fulfill his nuclear plan. And that's what was happening here in the early church, you see. And that's why they prayed. They could have prayed for all sorts of things, but no, they didn't. They focused upon God's mission. And that's why they said, continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And then what happened? In response to that kind of prayer, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Now, I know that some of you here in San Francisco, you say, oh, that's nothing. Could we shake? Everything shakes here. You know, when there's an earthquake, you know. But in response to prayer, the ground was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I know a lot of times when we pray for our missionaries, what do we pray for? Lord, please provide for them. Lord, please put their kids in good schools, and please help them financially, encourage them, and give them strength, give them health, and when they're in trouble, deliver them. You know, but you know what the early church prayed for is that when the missionaries were in trouble, they prayed, Lord, keep their mouths going. Keep them speaking the word of God. Keep them spreading the gospel so that the world would come to know Jesus, would come, and your mighty movement would come in like a giant tidal wave. You know, in Hawaii now, sometimes we go to the North Shore and we like to see the professional surfers surfing during the wintertime. You have these giant 30-foot waves. They're huge, huge waves. All right, they're taller than the ceiling here, okay? And when you look at these waves, you see this little speck of a man on this little surfboard and riding this wave. And what they do is that they go out and they paddle far out, and they watch the wave. And as they watch the wave come in, then they try to be in sync with that wave. And they try to paddle back to shore so that the wave just doesn't hit them and throw them over, but they actually want to, you know, come up to the speed of that wave. And then when that wave rises up, they can ride that wave. Now, that's what prayer is. See, God is already moving. And when God is already moving with great power, prayer then is riding that wave. See how that works? Prayer is riding that wave. And that's why that in the early church, because their prayers were in tune with the movement of God, they were able to see responses to the prayer in great, powerful, and mighty ways. That is the reason why that
during times of the mighty movements of God, you will find that prayer is always a part of that. 1857. I know that was the year when the Christian Reformed Church was born, but I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about in New York City. In New York City, in a small Dutch Reformed Church, there was a little council room, and a newly hired evangelist. He was on staff, part-time, and he decided to have a prayer meeting. And that first prayer meeting was just him, and then another person came in off the street late. Okay, he had posted some signs out there, and so people were to come in if they wanted to pray. And the focus was to pray for souls. It was to pray that the gospel would be spread so that more and more people would come to know Jesus Christ and his salvation. Well, what happened was one person came. That was the first day. Next week, 20 people came. Okay? The next week, 20 people. The week after that, it doubled. More than doubled to about 50 people. The next week after that, it was about 100 people. They had to go to multiple churches, and then they went to every day where they would pray at noontime. It was like a businessman's prayer meeting. And then it went from 100 people, went to 500 people, then 1,000 people. By the end of the year, it went to 6,000 people, churches, in churches and in meeting places all around New York City. By the end of 2 years, those prayer meetings had spread all across the eastern seaboard of the United States, from Maine to Florida. And 2 million people every day were coming together for prayer. And then because of that, 1 million of them were the ones who came to Jesus Christ for the first time. Now, this is all through prayer. It was not through anything administrated or organized, through any kind of production in any kind of stadium. This came through prayer. And when it comes through prayer, you know this is all God. This is not through any kind of organization of man. This is not because they had a big name preacher or a speaker. It's not because there was any kind of celebrity giving a testimony. This is because of prayer. It's all God. So when the news cameras and when the TV, when the news reporters, when they see that happening, they can't point to money. They can't point to a building. They can't point to expert organization. They cannot point to anything like that. They can only point to God. They know it's all the Lord. And that's why God loves to respond to prayer, the kind of prayer where you pray for him. So I say when you praise God and when you pray for his mission, you're praying for God. So not just praying for yourself. It's good to pray for yourself, okay? You want to pray for a good parking space, fine. You want to pray for good grades, fine, okay? God wants us to pray for our daily bread. But I'm saying you have to make room to pray for God. And that's exactly what they did here. They prayed for God. Okay, that's all I have to say. I know it's a short sermon. I know usually I preach a lot longer, but I'm going to be translated in the Mandarin service, so I had to make it shorter. Okay, let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be the center of our prayer lives, Lord, that when we worship you, we're worshiping you. When we pray to you, we pray to you, and we pray for you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would capture our hearts and that you would put us in sync and in line with your plans and your purposes. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, the reason why we pray is because you died on the cross for our sins. And because of this great and wonderful and marvelous salvation that you have given to us, we in turn, out of our gratitude, want to pray to you that the same kind of salvation would be spread more and more to people all across the world. It's as if, oh Lord, that you have given us the cure for cancer, and now we have to tell people what that cure is. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you might use us more and more through our prayers. Most of us here, we're not eloquent evangelists, and we're not workers of great and spectacular miracles, Lord, but we can pray. And we want to pray for you, O Lord, because we know that your plans are so much bigger than ours. And Lord, we want to experience your power and your glory and your majesty spread out across the world more and more. And we pray, O Lord, that you exercise your power to fulfill those purposes. Thank you that you've given us a place in that great master plan of yours. We know of your love. We know of your majesty. We know of your holiness. And now, Lord, we pray that you will use our prayers so that the whole world will know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
People tell me that my best sermons are my shorter sermons. But I want to give you a time to put into practice some of the things that Pastor Andy talked about. And I want to give you some extended time to pray. So some of it is your starting point. Sometimes it's hard to think about, like, oh, having these huge prayers to God with these big words. You don't need to do that. I mean, God knows what's upon your heart. And sometimes we don't even know the words to say, but the Holy Spirit brings those words to God.